So I'm going to need your all's help a little bit tonight. I want you to listen carefully to this lesson. And if I've got something a little off or something that I could add to it to make it a little better, please let me know. And the reason I'm saying that is I've made this nice little pamphlet here to give to somebody, two people at work. One person goes to Faith Assembly, one goes to a Baptist church. And so I'm going to finalize this on the computer when I'm done. So if you've got anything to share with me, won't hurt my feelings, it'll just maybe make it better, please let me know. But anyway, we're having a conversation at work. And one thing I like is you'd be surprised if you just opened up the door. There's a lot of young people that are inquisitive. They don't take things for granted like some of us people. You know, it's just always been this way, and that's why it's that way, and just accept it. They want to know why, and I like that. But we were talking the other day, and this girl, she said, so we're talking about a subject. She's like, Belvis, why do you think your truth is truer than my truth? So we're going to look at tonight some ways to determine truth. John 8:32 states, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. So I've made several points here. There's many more we could add. So the first point is, obviously, we have to want the truth. We know that some people do not want the truth. They want it to say what suits their needs. And I would say I fall in that category at times. I don't like what the truth says sometimes, but the truth is the truth. Psalm 25:5 states, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. And that's the kind of attitude that we need. Number two, we must know God's Word. We must study it and not just read it, but we have to think upon it and we have to meditate upon it. Listen to other points of view. I know that's hard. With open-mindedness, I know a person personally that say they read the Bible through every year, but they come up with the same conclusion every time, and they're still in error. And that's just the thing. If you read something with your mind already made up, you're going to come up with the same conclusion every time. 2 Timothy 2:15 states, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Investigate topics that interest you. See how different groups teach on these subjects. Then you compare these things to the Bible as, of course, the ultimate authority. Number three, context. For example, those advocating faith alone, they will cite passages that mention the necessity of faith to be saved, but neglect other passages that mention the necessity of baptism, such as, of course, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16. Psalm 119:160 states, the sum of your word is truth. In Latin, context means to weave together. In other words, reading a few verses before, a few verses after, start at the beginning of the thought being conveyed. You can't have seemingly conflicting passages and then just go with the one that you like the best. The Bible says faith saves, baptism saves, repentance saves, hope saves. So which is it? It's all of them. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible says God is not the author of confusion. It's us. Number four, tradition. This is priceless, but a person the other day, we were talking about religious stuff, and he's from another country, and He said, I'm in the religion that I'm in because I'm basically a coward and I'm afraid to change. And then he goes on to say, but after studying my religion, it seems to be the most correct. So I really appreciate his honesty. So, you know, we have to say, are we in the religion we're in because of tradition? Were we just raised this way? Is it because of mom and dad? Church is close to the house. My friends go there. The kids really like the programs they have. Good music. Not here, of course. This is for somebody else. Or have we studied the teachings and found them to be correct? Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Number 5. This is going to sound weird to you, but a lot of people get stuff wrong with this one. Understanding basic rules of English. Here's one of many examples that can mess you up. An antecedent. It's like, oh Lord, he's talking English. Thought we'd come here to hear a lesson. An antecedent is something or someone that is referred to by a pronoun. For example, if I say, Donnie preached last Sunday, when I was there, I saw Mark, Greg, and Ray. He did a good job. Who did a good job? Exactly. And because there are other names mentioned, but he refers to the person preaching, doing the good job. That may sound fifth grader like, but I'll give you a few examples. 1 Corinthians 11:16. Yes, he pulled that page open. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So you have to say, what custom? Most people I know, they think they refer to the custom as a woman wearing a head covering. But if you look at the last custom mentioned, it falls back to verse 13, which is saying the opposite of that. Also, another one people frequently miss is, did the apostles speak in tongues only, or the 120 mentioned in Acts 1 and 2 along with the apostles? The apostles. You must apply context here and proper antecedents. In Mark 16:18, people have actually died by confusing this antecedent, in which it says, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it won't harm them. But if you read the whole chapter, you can determine that they are the disciples of Christ. And there are 2.4 billion Christians in the world. Half are Catholics, and they base one of their founding principles upon a misplaced antecedent. For lack of time, you can read Matthew 16, verses 16 to 18, but they make Peter the rock versus Peter's confession. And I know I spend a little more time on this one, but this is something that is very easily confused. Number 6, which Bible version? Did you know that there's over 450 translations of the Bible in English alone? So the one thing that I hear a lot is that it's too hard to understand. And one of the reasons why is they opened the King James Version. Now, I'm not downing it. It's correct. It's truth. But I'm saying if you just open it up for the first time, it's kind of hard to read. It's written in a language from 400 years ago that was written in Elizabethan English. And the meanings of words change over time. Let me just give you one of quite a few examples. 1 Corinthians 6:9 states, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't know about you all, maybe you did, but I did not know what an abuser of themselves, of mankind, was until somebody told me. If I'd have just opened the book only, I would still not know what that is. Maybe I'm just not smart. In other versions, of course, it is rendered homosexual. That's extremely important to know, because it could depend on your soul knowing what that passage means. I like the NASB. You all may have some preferences, but that's what I like the best. Written in contemporary English. Number 7, culture or command. Let's read 1 Corinthians 4:17. It says, "For this cause have I sent you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." So how confusing would it be if Paul taught one church one thing, then another something else, and then 2,000 years later we have to go in and say, well, this applies to me, but this teaching don't, because this was to this church and went to that church. It would be very confusing. We go to the Bible to determine culture or command. I didn't spend much time here, but we of course know there are controversial issues such as women's roles in the church, once again the head coverings, hair lengths, leadership at home, greetings with the holy kiss, and there's several more that have been a source of debate for many years. If you read the text, you usually can determine if it was a message for a certain time period, or if it is a constant, continuing teaching. For example, 1 Timothy 2:12 states, "I do not allow a woman to teach over a man." Verse 13 states, "For it was Adam first created, then Eve." This shows us it's been that way basically since creation, not cultural for just that time period. Number 8. Just be a Christian. I saw a debate a few weeks ago between this very smart guy, James White, and this Muslim guy. And they were talking, and I see why Muslims get confused. He said, "So you're trying to convince me to be a Christian?" He's like, "What kind of Christian?" And he starts naming all the different groups. You know, and then even within sometimes the very same groups, then they're split offs with that. How do you argue against that? This all signifies division, not different styles, as some would want you to believe, division. Jesus wants unity, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. If you have any other name than just Christian, you are furthering that division. Or if you're adding a name onto Christian, you're furthering that division. Acts 11:26 says, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Just Christians. Number 9, and I see this probably more than anything I've mentioned, just the importance of following the truth. Most people think one church is as good as another. Matthew 7:21 states, however, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." So of the 45,000 Christian denominations, in the world, Do you think everyone is worshiping in spirit and especially in truth? Probably not. Number 10, last one. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 says, do not go beyond what is written. Nothing more, nothing less. And that's what gets a whole lot of people confused. What if Noah had tried this, going beyond God's instructions with building the ark? Do you think it would have floated? Probably not. So in my conclusion, is my truth truer than everyone else's? I know that I'm striving for that because my soul is at stake. So the ones who hear this lesson, you need to consider all these things. Add some more things, but your soul is at stake when you're not following what the church taught in the first century. So you keep studying and you investigate what different groups do and see if it aligns with what the Bible teaches. If they go beyond the Word, are they entertainment based? Are they trying to please the world? Can they trace their beginning back to a man versus back to the early church? Is it a church that preys on people's emotions? And we could keep right on adding to that. So, and that's how you keep narrowing it down till you get into the church that you read about in the Bible. So let me know if you got something that I need to make a little bit better or if I've got wrong. If there's some here tonight that needs to get into that one church tonight, need to know the steps in doing that. Or if there's some that's in error and you want the prayers of the church at this time, please come forward as together we stand and we sing.